I want to give you a better car. God is my witness. That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Is that God, John, this is not my desire for you. If I just let this thing clunk along and didn't leave you on the side of the road, you'd put up with it because you're just a laid-back kind of guy. So I'm going to have to move you to get rid of this piece of junk so you go and get the good thing that I have waiting for you. And do you know he brought that about in my life and blessed us tremendously. Amen, Missy? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm like, oh, God, I want to serve you. I just want to rejoice in this. He's like, junk the car. I love the providence of God. Praise God. And so people who are versed in that, who attempt to live by that principle, this is their battle cry. The will of the Lord be done. Not fatalistically, but in faith and in hope and in confidence and in boldness that our God is greater than anything the enemy throws our way. Now, that's, on the one hand, that is the providence of God, okay? Reformed theology. Anyway, there is a second aspect. I told you we were going to get a theology class. Anybody sleeping yet? No? Okay. Cool. On the other hand, there is also a principle of theology sort of known as kingdom theology. On the other hand, kingdom theology, and according to Wayne Grudem, who is my theological mentor, he describes it this way, the kingdom of God. Buddy, the kingdom of God is primarily, now he uses like, you know, professor type words because he's a professor. The kingdom of God is primarily the dynamic reign. Dynamic means it's not just sitting around gathering dust. It's doing stuff, man. It's out there working. It's a working dynamic. The kingdom of God is primarily the dynamic reign. What is that? Rule, yeah. Sovereign rule. The kingdom of God is primarily the dynamic reign or kingly rule of God, and the sphere in which that rule is what? Experienced. It's doing something. It's happening. It's not some dusty little book on top of your shelf. It is the sovereign rule of God working dynamically and being experienced by his people. That's what, man, you know, you sit in, if a theology class puts you to sleep, you're in the wrong class, man. Theology is exciting because our God is the living God. He is a powerful God, and theology is the study of him. I just want to know my God. In other words, putting Grudem aside, in other words, God rules over all creation. He has defeated the forces of darkness. He has put them to shame openly, disarmed them, trashed them, taken away their power. And whenever his power over them, over the forces of darkness, is demonstrated through his church, that is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. The power of God. God delegated his power and authority to his first creation, man, Adam, in the garden, gave him dominion. Of course, what happened to Adam? Fell. Christ recaptured that by his obedient life. Christ, in his person, embodied the kingdom of God because he was absolutely, totally committed and surrendered in obedience to the Father, even to the point of death. And so God in reward raised him up to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. And guess what? When we are in Christ, we walk in that authority. God has given us dominion and sends us forth to manifest His dominion and power and demonstrate His victory over all the forces of the enemy. Is that exciting? Does that warrior spirit rise up in you and want to see God in action, demonstrating His victory over all of hell, over all of death and Satan and disease and darkness, to set people free, to liberate captives, to open blinded eyes, to see people healed, to see them made whole, to see them put together and their lives become functional and fruitful and abundant and joyful and filled with peace and love and all the fruits of God's Spirit? Does anything inside of you want to set people free and see that happen in their lives? That's what motivates me. That's what drives me. That's what gets me up in the morning. I want to see God manifest His kingdom in the lives of people. Jesus said in Luke 11:20, He says, "If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." He demonstrates His power, authority, and victory over the enemy. And His kingdom is brought forth in this world. One day He is going to have His kingdom will ultimately be manifest in this world, and everything will be submitted to Him. Everything will be put under His feet. Until that time, His kingdom has invaded this world through His church. Yeah, who's that? If that's you, raise your hand. Amen. Do you know you represent an invasion of the kingdom of God into this world that Satan has devastated and destroyed and ransacked and pillaged? And God said, "The time has come. Enough is enough. I'm taking it back." And guess who He's sending? Us. He's sending... Stand up, sweetheart. He's sending Rachel Slater! Amen, girl. Amen. Yes, ma'am. I love it. Just like that, you know, UFC stuff, man. Rachel Slater! He's sending you, girl. You represent the kingdom of God because the King is living inside of you. Guess what? Sending your mom too. You're not sure that makes her happy. You really blow your mind. He's sending your brothers too. Whoa. Yikes. Praise God. Now, yes, one day we will see the fullness of the kingdom demonstrated and manifested on the earth. Right now we're seeing it partially. It has invaded. It's not completely here yet. But the Bible says that in the book of Hebrews, it says that we have tasted. Listen, don't think about it. Just think about this for a second. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have tasted the powers of the age to come. Man, now I've seen some stuff, man. You know, people raised from the dead, sicknesses healed, people delivered from demonic oppression. I mean, mind-blowing, beautiful stuff. God says, guess what? That's a taste. That's just a taste, man. That's a spoonful. Boy, just wait till I bring out the main course, buddy. You're not even going to know how to deal with that. We have tasted the powers of the age to come. Guess what? God wants us to do that. He wants us to experience the powers of the age to come. He wants us to live in supernatural, victorious life. He wants us to open our minds as to what our amazing God wants to do through us. With or without our shirts tucked in. Praise God. Do you know God desires you to experience that power? Does that kind of just challenge your mind a little bit that God wants to use me? If anybody's sitting there going, I know you don't mean me. I'm Rachel maybe, but you know, who am I? Anybody feel like that in your heart? Your head is saying, yeah, that's me, but your heart is going, what are you talking about? Praise God. It can be a little challenging. God wants us to open our hearts and allow Him to make that a reality in our life. Oh, man. Now, okay, the providence of God, the kingdom of God. Here's the problem. We have churches, they're usually Reformed churches and things along that line, that greatly emphasize the providence of God. That is what they are all about, usually very heavy on discipleship. When it comes to dealing with the challenges of life, if something happens, man, that's God's providence. He's going to bring about something good, make you more like Jesus. So they just kind of say, okay, here we go. I'm trusting God, that's it, and I'll just sit here and wait for God to work some good out of this thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. My car broke down. That's okay. I'm good. God, I'm just looking for you. And so they basically just resign. You know, almost it can almost be fatalistic where you're just sitting there, something happens, you're like, okay. And they don't really spend a whole lot of energy battling the forces of darkness that may be coming against them. They're just like, you know, they're devil beating on them, kicking them, and they're just like, praise God. I'm just trusting God. I'm exaggerating here. I don't mean to diminish the beauty of that truth. But, you know, I mean, that can be a problem on the one side. On the other side, you have churches that emphasize the kingdom of God and the power and the gifts of God and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit so much that everything that happens to them, man, they are up in arms, ready to do battle. You know, God may be trying to do something in their life, open their eyes to something He wants to do, and all of a sudden a little bump in the road comes, and man, out comes a sword. They're rebuking the devil. They're binding this, that, and the other thing. They're fighting and carrying on. And God is saying, shh, listen, listen. I'm trying to tell you something. Yeah, I hear you, God. You know, devil's a liar. Devil's a, you know, blah, blah, blah. Going on and fighting, and God may be trying to do something sovereign in their life that's going to really actually help them out. Maybe get some of that flesh out of there. Sometimes the devil doesn't need to lift his finger. Our flesh will kick our butt. And God wants to circumcise that, and He's using these things to try to get us from relying on our own strength and be more surrendered to Him. And we're just, you know, fighting for all our worth, thinking we're battling the enemy. We're fighting our flesh. Because we don't want to do that. God says, I want to do this. And inside, underneath, we're going, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So He turns up the heat a little bit. We start fighting the devil. It's not the devil. So, you know, you got these Reformed churches and really highly doctrinal churches. You have these more, you know, charismatic type churches over here. And each one thinks the other just really does no clue about what it's all about. On the one hand, you got the providence folks thinking that these kingdom folks don't trust God enough to wait on Him and perform His sovereign will in their life. You got the kingdom folks looking over those providence folks saying, man, they don't trust God enough to get up off their seat and do something. What are they sitting around for? They ought to rise up and take dominion in the name of the Lord. Praise God. And these two perspectives are often at odds with one another. I would submit to you today that God's ideal for His church is both providence and kingdom power. You need both providence and kingdom power. That's hard. People ask me, what kind of church are you? I say, we're a Reformed charismatic church. What? No, what kind of church are you? Yeah. Yeah, charismatic Reformed church. That's a problem because most charismatics thinks that, I mean, most Reformed people think that charismatics are superficial and only after, you know, prosperity and health. Most charismatics thinks that Reformed theology is from the pit of hell. And so, you know, you wind up on the short stick on both sides. They're like, you know, oh, you're one of them. No, I'm with the other one.